If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles once again to Isaiah and chapter 41. And our text for this evening is verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I wonder how many of us here this evening, how many of you here this evening come fearful. Fearful for the situation you're in. Fearful for the future. We all experience fear from time to time, and indeed, no doubt there are many here who are in the grips of fear even this evening. Imagine a child who is scared to go down a slide. They're sat at the top of the slide. They deep down want to go down the slide. But they sit at the top fearful because they do not know what is to be. They don't know what's round the corner. And so they cry and call out to their dad or mum, and dad climbs the steps and sits down with him. And puts him on his lap and says, fear not, don't worry, I'm with you, I've got you. And then they slide down together and all is well. Well, that's just a very small, simple illustration of what we have here in this verse. This wonderful verse for God's people. And God says, fear not, I'm with you, I'm here. I've got you, be not afraid. Now, there are many things in this life, you may be thinking, that are far greater than for a child to go down a slide. Things that you're facing, great challenges in your life, great concerns and worries. But indeed, we have a great God, don't we? Far greater than any father on earth. We have a great Father, the Almighty God, Heavenly Father, who is there to be with us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, and who says, fear not, for I am with you. I read a book fairly recently entitled That Hideous Strength, and it's all about the situation here in the West, in Western society. It's speaking of this cultural Marxism that has invaded the Western society, and how it's infiltrating the church. And he speaks of how we can fight against this, all this individualistic ideologies that are so prevalent. Though these things that are being driven by the media and schools about gender and marriage and all of these things that are being attacked in our day. And it paints a terrible picture of the West. And I must admit, as I read this small book, it brought fear to me. What is to become of the West? What is to become of our society? What is to become of the church in the West? How can we face this great foe, this hideous strength? And it was a cause to fear. Cause to fear in this land of ours today is the turmoil in politics, isn't it? These great things that are on our minds that cause us to fear. But even if we take aside these great things of society and Western civilization and even great British politics, even when we get down to the nitty-gritty of our lives, there is still much to be afraid of, isn't there? We fear of the unknown. We're afraid of what may be. What happens if I lose my job? What happens if someone in my family gets ill? How will I cope? We worry about these things. We may worry about things that are known to you. worried about that test result that you've just had. Maybe you've just recently lost your job. You know that's coming. And you don't know which way to turn, and you're fearful of how you will provide. Maybe you feel the walls of depression closing in. You've known that so often before, and you feel it once again, and you're fearful. Well, God says, fear not, for I am with you. How important it is for us to take hold of this verse in this, our day, and apply it to ourselves. And especially one day in the future when we cross that cold river of death, that last enemy, death, that we fear so much. Yet God still says, fear not, for I am with you. And though fear is the experience of us all, it's natural to fear. It can be a terrible thing, can't it? We see fear making cowards of soldiers on the battlefield. We see fear stopping the adventurer reaching his goal. We see fear preventing the businessman reaching success in business. And indeed, it so often prevents us from reaching our goals and dreams in life. And sadly, some have such debilitating fear that they seem to do nothing. They seem to be afraid of everything. It's a truly terrible thing. But fear in a child is one thing, as we saw, but fear in a child of God is something else. Fear in a nation is one thing. We see great fear and turmoil. But fear in the people of God is quite something else. Because fear prevents us, doesn't it? Fear prevents us from standing for the truth of God's word. And I'm sure we've all known this. And I include myself here. The amount of times we've been afraid to speak up when we should have spoken. Afraid to share the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ when we had opportunity. Fear debilitates us. It prevents us. But it's one thing, like I say, for a nation to fear who doesn't fear God. Who doesn't have God as their Father, as their Lord. But my friends, we have one that is greater than all things, the Heavenly Father. And so here, for everyone who is fearful here tonight, we have this balm, this soothing balm that we can apply to our fears, that God graciously gives us this promise to take for ourselves this evening. But you may be asking the question in your minds, well, how do I know that I can take this for myself? We see this promise being spoken to Israel, Jewish people, many thousands of years ago. It's in a completely different time, in an Old Testament context, to the people of the Jews. How can I take this for myself? Can I take this for myself today? Well, though Isaiah is writing some 100 years before, he is writing to the people who are taken captive in Babylon. He's speaking prophetically into their time, speaking God's word to them. So he's speaking to the time when they've been taken to Babylon, at the time of Daniel, at the end of Jeremiah's ministry. But notice how he addresses the people. He says, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen." You see, this is for all who are chosen of God. All who are the spiritual offspring of Abraham. You see, says, "To you, Israel. Galatians 3:7 says, only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. You here this evening, if you truly are of faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, the faith of Abraham, you truly can be called Israel, the people of God. And he goes on, my servant, my people, the ones whom I am responsible for, you are my servant, and those who serve him and work for him, and those whom I have chosen. We know that we are chosen from before the foundation of the earth. He has set his love upon a people whom Christ came to die for. And in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, speaking into a new covenant context, he speaks in a very similar way to people like you and me. He says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. And yes, though Isaiah is speaking to God's chosen people in a specific time, he is specifically speaking to them to relieve them of their fears. And God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as Father, he never changes. As God, he never changes. And so we can legitimately take these words of Isaiah that God is speaking through Isaiah and apply them to ourselves this evening and take them for our very own. And in this section, this whole section through from chapter 40 right through to the end of the book is a great encouragement. It is full of great encouragement for God's beleaguered people. As I say, he's speaking into a time of intense turmoil for God's people in the Old Testament. They'd been taken captive. Their homeland had been destroyed. They didn't know what would be. And yet in Isaiah 40, we're reminded of who God is. 12 to 26 speaks about the immensity of God. Then verses 28 to 31, Isaiah reminds us how God is the creator, who never grows old, who never grows weary, and he gives strength to those who wait upon him. And then in chapter 41, the verses that we have just leading up to this verse, we have this description of God and how he is in control of all things and how he governs the nations, how he raises this one in the east. He calls the nations to himself to reason with him. Who should they worship? And then he raises Cyrus. He's not named here, but he's named later on in the book, to come in and sweep these nations away before him. It is God who does this. God who is in control. This immense God, creator God, the one who we call our God this evening. But then when these nations are in turmoil, they're seeing this great army come towards them and they start to look to themselves and look to one another and try and encourage one another, and they set up idols for themselves. God turns to his people and he says to them, but fear not, for I am with you. I am with you. And so we'll just look at this briefly this evening. Fear not, for I am with you. Notice what God doesn't say. He doesn't say, I will be with you. He doesn't say, I'll be with you once you're back in your homeland. No, he says, I am with you. He doesn't say, I could be with you if you just do this. No, he says, I am with you. Even there in the depths of slavery, I am with you. Even there in exile in Babylon, I am with you. I am with you. As I've said, these people have already been exiled, been taken to Babylon. They'd been defeated in battle. Many of them had been slaughtered. Many of them had been taken away. Their cities had been demolished. Their nation was no more. They were a small remnant left in a foreign land under occupation. And you can just imagine them saying, but what's going to become of my children? Here, learning the Babylonian language, learning their way of life, what's going to become of them? What's going to become of our religion? We are being conformed into the ways of the world. What's to become of us? What about our cities? They've all been demolished. Even if we do get back, how will we recover? Well, God says to each and every one of their fears, be not afraid, for I am with you. And I need to ask the same question once again. What are you afraid of? Those fears that beset us so often. Afraid maybe of standing up for the truth about gender or marriage or some other topic in the public domain at the moment that will get us called bigots or fanatics or worse. Maybe you're afraid to do door to door or to witness to your friends, to stand up in your workplace. Maybe you're afraid of what will be in our nation. Like I've said already, we're in turmoil, aren't we? And there are many who truly fear these things. Maybe personally, you're afraid of getting older, afraid of what ill health may come due to getting older. Maybe you're afraid of going to the doctor to get that result because you fear what he might say. Maybe you are afraid of losing your job. I don't know your hearts and your minds this evening, but to every fear, every objection you might raise, God says, fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to one of Ligonier's Renewing Your Mind podcast they do every day. And a guy called Stephen Nichols was speaking. And he was speaking about God's omniscience, God's knowing everything. And he brought home a truth that I hadn't really thought of before. How, because he is unchanging, so is his knowledge. And he used the illustration of knowing the numbers of the hairs of our head. How, yes, he knows the numbers of the hairs of your head right now. But also right now, he knows the number of the hairs of your head that you've had every day in the past. But also every number that you will have until the day you die. All at once. My friends, he knows. He knows everything about you. He knows what you're going through. Those fears that beset you daily. We can bring them to him. We may boldly say, as the writer of the Hebrews says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Let me illustrate this for you. I watched an episode of one of Monty Don's gardening programs a few months back. And on this program, he likes to send the people who he's helping with their garden to somewhere that might give them some inspiration. And he sent this couple to the Chelsea Flower Show. Now, I've never been to the Chelsea Flower Show, but I understand that it's quite an intimidating place. It's vast. There is so much to see there. And these two novices turn up there and they literally don't know which way to turn. They have no idea what to go and see, and you see them on their own just messing around. They just don't know what to look for. And then they met up with Monty Don just for a couple of hours. And he took them with him and guided them to what would be most helpful for them and gave them advice. They said that if ever you go to the Chelsea Flower Show, you need to take him with you, because it was like the parting of the Red Sea with the crowds moving aside, and the fact that they could go to all the gardens that was going to be best suited for them. I'm sure he could have come alongside them and put his arm around them and said, look, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of this daunting place. I'm with you. I'm going to help you. But take Monty Don with you to, I don't know, the MCN motorcycle show, or the car show, or the boat show, whatever show you might like to go to, and it'd be no good at all, would he? But we have someone far greater, who knows all things, who is sovereign in all things, who comes alongside us here this evening and says, don't be afraid, I'm with you, I'll guide you, I'll help you, I'm with you. And God has expressed this in no greater way, has he, than in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in this same prophecy of Isaiah, in chapter 7, verse 14, that very famous Christmas passage, he says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. What does that name Emmanuel mean? God with us. God with us. God coming to be with us in humanity, sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is quite an amazing thing. Just think about that for a moment. God, who is creator over all things, coming to be part of his creation, a man, to be with us. And you might say, but the Lord Jesus Christ has gone. He's gone to heaven to sit at the right hand of the majesty on high. But yes, when he did, he was given the Holy Spirit, his Spirit to pour out upon his church. And we see on that day of Pentecost, when Christ poured out his Spirit upon his church, and we truly now have God with us. This is an amazing thing. This is a far greater thing than any Old Testament believer ever knew. Yes, God by his Spirit gave them regeneration, saved them. But they never had the Spirit of the glorified Lord Jesus Christ with them. My friends, this is a great thing. And we can take this promise for our own, for we know that God is with us. But then he goes on to say, be not dismayed, for I am your God. He doesn't stop at being afraid. He goes on to being dismayed. And this is just a broadening of the term, really. This is the idea of looking around in despair, in panic, not knowing which way to turn, what to do. And God says, be not dismayed. Don't be like that. When troubles come, don't turn around not knowing where to turn to. Turn to me. Turn to me, because I'm your God. I'm your God. I wonder what the first thing you do when fear strikes, when that unexpected call comes, when the doctor calls you to make an appointment. when that big tax bill that you weren't expecting falls through the letterbox and you have no idea how to pay it. Or maybe, as a bit more personal to me, just recently, when we were on holiday in the summer, when your son runs off down the beach and you have no idea where he's gone, and we panic. What do we do? Do we turn to one another? Do we look around in despair, not knowing what to do? Look to ourselves? Or do we look to God? For he is the Almighty, the one who is in all things, Creator God, sufficient for all things. We see here this illustrated for us in this passage that we have before us that I read. We see this great army coming in, sweeping in, overcoming these lands, these coastlands, and these people not knowing where to turn. Though God had reasoned with them, they despised him and turned away from him, and they sought to prop up their own gods to see if they'll help them. But God says, don't be like them. Don't be like them, because I am your God. You see, this God who Isaiah is thinking of as he writes this very passage is that God who says that he holds the oceans in the hollow of his hands, to whom the nations are but a drop in the bucket. Too often I fear we have a too small view of God, forgetting who God really is, taking him off his rightful place and making him small like us. And yet he is magnificent. He is great, greatly to be praised, and the one who is able to help. So we need not be dismayed, for he is your God. We must take everything straight to him, as that hymn that we sang says. What a friend we have in Jesus, and how we should take all our griefs to him, for he can bear them. We must pray to him and take them to him. But God doesn't only stop there. He could have done, and this would have been a great encouragement. But finally, just swiftly, I just must go through these final two clauses. So he then goes on to say, I will strengthen you, yes, I will help you. And then I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And this is important. This is some extra encouragement that he has for his people. And I think in a way, when we are in distress, when we are in trouble, if someone greater than ourselves comes alongside us to offer us help, it's a great comfort to us, isn't it? When I lost my job and I went to my cousin who's got his own business, and he offered me work and he assured me that he'd have something for me. That was a great comfort to me. And so when someone that has got greater capacity to help than ourselves comes alongside us, it's a great comfort. But here we have the Almighty God, the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, offering to help us. The one, as we've read, who never grows weary, who's full of strength, offering to strengthen us. This is the God we have, the God who promises to help us and strengthen us. I was thinking of a trainer, a boxing trainer, and that trainer of a boxer can offer all his help to that boxer. He can provide equipment for him to box. He can provide advice for him on how he should dodge and move. But when he's there in the ring, taking the blows, he is helpless. He's unable to strengthen his boxer. All he can do is throw in the towel if the time comes. But our God is not like that. Our God is able to give us strength through the blows of this life. He is able to strengthen us, and he has promised to do so. Paul knew this, didn't he? And it was so evident in his life. And he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the psalmist in that psalm I read earlier says this, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. I will not fear. What can man do to me? For God is with me." But he goes on to say, this is great stuff, isn't it? But he goes on to say, "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God doesn't rely on others. It's by his hand that he upholds you this evening. Yes, he uses means. He used Cyrus here for those in captivity in Babylon. He sends them home via Cyrus. He uses you and me as his people to encourage and help one another. But it's his hand and no one else. But notice whose hand or what hand it is. It's his righteous right hand. And forgive me, anyone here who's a lefty, but the right hand is used in illustration of strength. I'm a right-handed man and my right arm is far stronger. I can wield more strength with my right arm, my right hand, than I can my left. And this is what God is saying. I will wield all my strength for you. I will hold you with my strong arm. But notice also that it's not just a strong one, but it's righteous. It's righteous. It's perfect. It's the arm that implements his righteous, perfect will for you and me. It reminds me of that poem. I'm sure many of you know it, that footprints poem, where the poet sees some footprints in the sand and her life flashing before her. And when the good times seem to be flashing before her, she sees two sets of footprints. But when the bad times come, she only sees one, and she says, "Why, God? You promised to help me. You promised to be with me. And at the times I most needed it, where were you?" And he says, "Ah, it was then I was carrying you." And truly that's true. I will uphold you through your life with my righteous right hand. Matthew Henry sums it up perfectly when he says, "Art thou weak? I will strengthen thee. Art thou destitute, friends? I will help thee in time of need. Art thou ready to sink, ready to fall? I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Go on, dear friends, facing whatever you have to face, knowing that God is with you. God is with you. Fear not. But in a way, applying this to the believer here tonight, God's child, it is easy, for it brings great comfort to the believer. But you, if you are here, sitting under this sermon as you hear, and has not yet come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, you cannot honestly state that you are one of the children of Abraham by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot take this for yourself. This great comfort we can have with this great God that we have. But my friends, you are like those coastland people who are setting up idols, setting up things to encourage you, to strengthen you through your life, making you feel that you're okay for the time to come. But my friends, as those idols fell to the wayside and those peoples perished, so will all your ideologies, all those things that you raise up, all your own strength, will fall before the God of glory. There's a story in the Old Testament of the Israelites as they were conquered in battle and the Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines and put in their God's temple. And we read how Dagon fell and smashed. And that will be the case for you, friends. When you stand before the living God, everything will fall by the wayside and smash. And you will stand naked and exposed before God. The scripture says, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But will you be bowing to him as judge on that great day and confessing that he is Lord? Or will you be bowing before him here while the day is still today and acknowledge him as Lord and Saviour in your life? Jesus says, the scripture says of Jesus that he came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Today is the day of salvation. Come, friends, come to the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And as you come in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, you too will have this God as your God. And he will say to you, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Amen.